Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 325, Do Not Lose Heart. Guest Minister Tanya Schnitz delivered this message on Sunday, July 9th, 2023 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Welcome, YouTube and Facebook. Anyways, I'm live, and today's sermon is called Do Not Lose Heart. You know, I know as we go through these days and things seem darker, things seem harder, it's getting harder and harder to push the plow out there amongst your family and your friends. We get a tendency to start to lose heart. But, you know, I was just cruising through the Bible, 2 Corinthians 4. That's where the whole sermon is from today. So 2 Corinthians 4, he starts out in verse 1 and he says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. And that caught my eye because it's like, all right, what do I got to do? How do I not lose heart? It's difficult. Today's society is so difficult. So what is this ministry that he talks about? God's mercy in this ministry. What is this ministry? So back in chapter 3, whenever it says therefore, he says go backwards and read what I was talking about. He was reading in chapter 3, verse 17. He says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. 2 Corinthians 3, 8, a little further back, says, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? So that prompted me to go to 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 20, and it says that all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he was committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. This is the ministry of reconciliation. That is the answer to the question, what ministry do we not lose heart from? It's the message, the ministry of reconciliation. It is the end of estrangement from God. It is atonement and peace. So what ministry have we been given? The ministry of the Holy Spirit. The ministry of freedom. Hallelujah. So this is important, and if he's saying don't lose heart in the ministry that the Holy Spirit has, let's listen, right? So let's just pray. Father, we thank you that you have called us to this ministry of reconciliation. We thank you, Lord, that it is your work and not us. I hope they see that by the end of this whole chapter, Father God, that it's you and not us. We're just vessels. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you for breaking me today and allowing your light to shine through, that people would have a deeper revelation of what you want for us so that we can carry on the work of your ministry here on the earth. And it would be good. Yes. It will be good. And we thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. So we've been given this great calling to minister Jesus to people who need him so badly. You can just look on the TV and the social media and all those places and see how badly this world needs Jesus. We know who he is and we know what he's done for us. He's given us freedom and we want them to have it as too. So we preach Jesus humbly because of God's mercy. This undeserved mercy is the reason why we do not need to lose heart. This is God's ministry. We're just a part of it. Yes. Hallelujah. So in verse 2, he says, we do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I sat with that for the longest time, and I'm like, what are you saying, God? What are you saying? He's saying we must preach with integrity and speak the word of God directly. No distortion or softening of the gospel, only the truth. The truth is what sets people free. We find ourselves fearful of sharing the gospel because we might offend somebody. But do they mind telling us things that offend us? They don't in this world today. So we have to say, you know what? The truth, if it offends, it's Jesus, not us. We're just the messenger. So when the Apostle Paul preached, everyone could look at his ministry and see that he preached the gospel with integrity. Even if some could not see it and would attack him, he knew he had preached it right in the sight of God. That's what's important. We are accountable to God when we minister to others, and we must answer to him. So preach the truth of the word like you're preaching to God himself. Speak the full truth. If we don't speak the full truth, they're not going to be set free. It'll just be a taste, and they need to hear the truth that will set them free. Yes, the gospel is veiled from the eyes of men because of Satan, but we are not preaching ourselves. We are preaching Jesus Christ as Lord. We are partnering with the Holy Spirit, and he will remove the veil. Yes. Right? All we have to do is do our part. It's a tiny part in the whole mastery of everything. John 3:19-21 says, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of the light because their deeds are evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. So the blind do not perceive light." So God had a way. He chose the word, Jesus, the living word, to set men free. We must use the word to break people's minds free. Introduce them to Jesus. Whatever level that you're at, that he's at, introduce them to Jesus. Don't be fearful of sharing Jesus. Note to self. If you find yourself struggling and you're tired of your mind being blinded in an area, then put your trust in Jesus and what he has already done for you. Spend time in the scripture and get light into your situation, and then you can believe upon his word and not be blinded any longer. So this is the process, that as we are walking and we go deeper in with God, more light is shed upon our situation, and he lifts us out of that, right? Which then we turn around and go deeper with him. And it's really, 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 really good. So attention, attention, attention. We need to pray for the lost. If that's not on your heart, we need to get right and make it be on your heart, because that's the ministry of reconciliation. It's taking that separation that people have from God. We need to pray for them first. Before you even walk out of your house, you need to be praying for the lost, because that's God's heart. If you are following Jesus and you want to be on mission with Jesus, you got to first pray and activate that prayer for the lost. Ask the Lord to shine the light to bind the blinding work of Satan. See, we have that power that he has given us, that authority to bind the light of Satan, which is darkness. We have to bind his work. The things that are keeping people in the dark is the blinding work of Satan. All right? And then you ask God to give faith to them, to loose the angels, to overcome the unbelief that invites the binding. Because it's in people's unbelief in God is where they start listening to Satan. I don't know if God's real. I don't know if I believe in him today. I don't know. The world's looking pretty good over here. I don't know. That unbelief is the open door that Satan uses to bring the darkness. And until we pray for them and activate ourselves in this ministry of reconciliation, we're not going to get anywhere. We have to activate our partner, the Holy Spirit. It's not our ministry. We're just a part of it. So first you got to pray. Pray for the lost. Pray for the lost. Pray for your coworker who's lost. Pray for your husband, your children, your grandparents, anybody that has not come into that understanding of a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about knowing who he is, because Satan knows who he is. It's a relationship. Having that relationship with him is what changes everything. So the enemy causes doubt and suspicion, which then invites the lies that brings them into that place in their mind where he's not real. God's not real. So only the Holy Spirit can break through with the word of God and tear down those veils. We can't do it. It's not our job. Why do you want to do it by yourself? It's a struggle. No wonder we lose heart. We're over here trying to do everything ourselves. Whose ministry is it? It's the Holy Spirit's ministry, not ours. So a perfect example of this is found in Acts 9, 1 through 19. Saul was a hater and a persecutor of the church in the early days. The Lord met him on the road and allowed him to become blind for 3 days. Then the Holy Spirit spoke into his heart and shone his light so he could see both physically and spiritually. He was completely transformed by the Holy Spirit and set free from the lies of the enemy. Saul, who later became Paul, became an apostle of Jesus Christ and the writer of many of the books in the New Testament. Praise God for that event. See, nobody was on that road with him, you know, his army people or people surrounding him, but God encountered him, the Holy Spirit. He's the one that could do that. You know, I have a personal testimony. Back in 1993, the Lord brought this to me yesterday morning when I was sitting with this message. He said, tell him about, I was in the hospital all the time, in and out, sickness, sickness, sickness. 1993, the Lord spoke to me. I'm waiting for my next dose of drugs. Bring it on because I'm sick of being here. I'm so tired of being in the hospital all the time. And you know what I heard? Not the nurse saying, here you go. I heard God say, do you know why I have you here? Because it's the only time you seek me. Yeah, that's still in my heart 30 years later. It's been 30 years since that day. And he said to me, I have you here because that's the only time you seek me. There's a reason that we go through things sometimes, because he can talk to us in it. 2 Corinthians 4:5 says, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. So Jesus is our topic to preach, not ourselves. The word says they triumphed over him, him being Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, Revelation 12:11. As we preach the real Jesus, the gospel of love, the true gospel of love, they will fall in love with him and he will change their ways. We share our testimonies and how he has changed our lives, and then the Holy Spirit will reveal to them how to make the moral changes they need as they grow in Jesus Christ. We do not need to tell anybody what they need to do in their lives. It turns them off from the true gospel of love. Hey, you quit smoking. I mean it right now, Jesus' name. That's not going to do it, right? It's Jesus. It's his ministry. It's his Holy Spirit that does the purification. Although I am speaking to you. Yes, you stop smoking. No, anyways. Anyways, he does the moral changing, not us. It's not our job. So we preach as servants of Jesus and are completely led by our partner, the Holy Spirit. His light will shine into their darkness and take that pressure off of us for sure. I tell you, when I figured that out, it was such a relief because I kept thinking, how am I going to tell them they shouldn't be wearing shorts that short? You know, how do I tell them they shouldn't be drinking till they're drunk? How do I tell? It's not my job. It's not my job. All I need to preach is Jesus. He will change their lives. It's not my job. Whew, that took a load off. Especially with my kids, as they're adults now, and I can't tell them anyways, right? I just allow them to be who they are, and God's going to get them because he got me in that hospital bed that day when he said, I have you here so you will seek me more. So 2 Corinthians 4:6, after I got out of the hospital that time, I started going to church regularly. And that started my walk deeper because I did want to see him not only when I was sick, because I was sick a lot. And when I wasn't sick, I needed to be with him. And I told the church that. I said, yeah, I got to be here. So 2 Corinthians 4:6, we're going to go back to chapter 4. It says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. God showed his light in us so we can shine him out. Shine outward with Jesus Christ. His word is where the shine is at. It is the knowledge of God, and as we seek him more, we can shine outward more brightly. We must share him and not keep everything for ourselves or guess what? You lose it. It starts getting dimmer and dimmer because you're not sharing, and it gets less and less, and pretty soon you find yourself in a quiet place by yourself, not with Jesus. So God always shines outward brighter so others can see him when we bless others. He blesses us so much as well, right? When you share Jesus, you get blessed just as much, if not more. That's his divine plan, and he wants to use men to change the world. So you know what we did this week? We have an Engage team here at my Father's house. That Engage team is set up to go into people's homes to bring the light into their homes, not just on the street, but to change lives on a deeper level. And we put together a team, and it was Aaliyah and Pastor Don and myself that went into the home, but then the whole team was praying for us at this time. And that's really powerful to have that unity in the body of Christ. You know, not everybody can leave work at 2 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon, but that's when that man could see us. So we took this team in there, and Jesus did the work. Jesus did the work. And so in this, he is a paraplegic. You might want to hear this, Jesse. You might want to hear this testimony really fast. This man was a paraplegic, And he invited us in because he used to be a pastor and he knows Jesus heals. And when we went in there, we just spoke the word. Pastor Don, full of it, just spoke the word. And we started to minister to this man who was in a bed with a little hanging thing, the whole bit, couldn't move the left side of his body in any way, shape, or form. And as we ministered to him, his hand began to come alive. The paralyzed 2 years arm started to move, and we watched it happen. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. It was a miracle happening right before our eyes. And then as we then put on some worship music, let's worship. So we brought in worship music, and the presence of God was so heavy in that room. It was beautiful. And as we did that, Eileen's his caregiver and started challenging his muscles in his legs and moving his legs in a way he hadn't been able to move in 2 years. 2 years his leg was moving out and up and down, and she was challenging him, can you move your foot? Can you move your toes? And pretty soon we saw that. We saw him move his toes. The dead leg came alive right there. It's the ministry of Jesus Christ. Amen? The ministry of Jesus Christ. It was freedom for him. Pretty soon, she kept challenges. I was so thankful for you doing that. Challenging him. Do you want to sit on the edge of the bed? So when a stroke patient has lost half their body, they sit crooked because they don't realize in the brain that they're not sitting up. But as we prayed and as we laid hands upon him, he was sitting up straight and tall, and we could take our hands off and he was balancing himself. Jesus, only Jesus can do that. That is the ministry of freedom. Hallelujah. And then she even pushed him farther. Let's go ahead and stand. You ready to stand? He did for just a few seconds, but he felt the floor underneath both his feet. Jesus did that. So I tell you that story because that's all we had to do, was be willing to go, be willing to pray, be willing to stand on the word of God and say, this is the truth. And he experienced the truth. And when we asked him after we got him all back in bed and settled, you know, we said, what did you feel when we prayed? And his first words were relief. Relief that I can live until tomorrow now, because God is setting me free. I have hope for tomorrow. He knows he's getting out of that bed, that the cells of Jesus are coming alive in his body, and he is going to be out of that bed. He's no longer paralyzed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Only Jesus. Yeah, so I wanted him to hear that part. So, you know, we see God's glory in the face of Jesus, and he represents Jesus. He represents God, the glory of God. Jesus does that. In that room, the glory of God was there. We put on his favorite worship song, which was How Great Thou Art. And we all sang at the top of our lungs in this little bedroom, but it was so amazing. And he just stared up, because he couldn't look up, by the way, when he was sitting there. He was able to move his head up and down. He looked up to Jesus, and his face was just shining with the glory of God. It was the most amazing experience I have experienced with Jesus yet. It was amazing. It was amazing. And I just know that he's going to be up and out of that bed and walking here to show you himself. Right? Amen. Yes, yes, we will go back. We will go back. So anyways, we see the God's glory in the face of Jesus, and he represents the glory of God. So back to John 14:9, it says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. That was the scripture we were standing on. It says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we saw the Father working in that room through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. It's an amazing team, amazing team. John 17:24 says, Father, I want those who have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. You know, the scripture that I fully was just banking on was, it says that you're going to see even greater miracles than these, right? Jesus said that to us. So we went in there believing for that miracle, and that miracle was beginning to transpire right before our eyes. Hallelujah. So back to 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. It is just amazing that God chose to put his glory in us humans. We are earthen vessels, common in every way, just as clay jars used to be in the ancient days. There was nothing special about them. They were just containers to hold things. They were easily cracked or shattered, but when broken, the light would shine through. This just shows that the amazing, all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So I brought this example. Here, this is a terracotta pot, but, you know, in the holiness of God, it's now white. All right, it's been purified. But anyways, this jar, it represents us. This is us, and these holes are broken spots where they've had rough times in their life. But when it's broken, the light shines through. Just the amazing... I'm reading wrong. This just shows the amazing, amazing, all-surpassing power of Jesus. No one is worthy enough to carry this glory. However, God gives it to us and trusts in us. He chose to put his light and glory in the everyday dishes and not the fine china. So this fire is the Holy Spirit. Amen. And if you have the fire of the Holy Spirit in your jar of clay, that light is going to shine through you. Because you can't just sit in church. You can't just sit in the back pew of church. If you have that fire of God, you're going to be out. You're going to be out and telling people about Jesus. You need the baptism of fire to do the work of the Lord. You have a job, and it's a small part in the grand scheme of things, but you're to tell others and show and let his light shine. If we wouldn't have went in there and let our light shine and joined our faith with Ed, he might still be sitting there, right? But we're not. We're saying, Jesus, you got a job for us, and we want to do it. So, you know, if you have family members or friends or neighbors, and they need some in-home prayer, we have an engaged team. Call me. I'll set it up. We'll get a team together. We pray. The Holy Spirit puts it all together. And it's amazing. It's amazing to do God's work in this way. So even more amazing than all of that is that Jesus Christ came to live as an earthen vessel as well. He came as a broken jar. He took all of his deity and gave it away and came down into our common everyday dish. Right? So... He wanted to be just like us. He humbled himself to be just like us so we could identify with him, so we could know that he knew exactly how we feel. He could know that we lose heart. He could know that we struggle in this world. He could know all of that. And then when he got put back into his deity, he now is living with us with the Holy Spirit. And we can know that. And we can know that. So that Old Testament story that I had Pastor Don share with you this morning reminds us of these clay jars. In Judges 7, he was reading about Gideon. Gideon was just a guy, just a common everyday guy. And you know what? They were not having much food to eat. So he was hiding and doing his wheat in a place that hopefully nobody saw, where they could steal it from his family, because people weren't getting much food to eat back then. So he was hiding. And the angel of the Lord came to him and said, "You are a warrior." And he was like, "Me? I'm just in here hiding. I'm just doing my work, hiding." This story changed my life when I heard Gideon, because I was just a girl underneath a lot of oppression. And what do you mean I'm a warrior, God? What do you mean you're telling me I have something to do in your kingdom? But in verse 20, no matter what's coming at you, no matter how many enemy armies, then he said too much to count, right? Too many to count was coming after Gideon. Gideon, because he rose up in it. If you read the story, it's really amazing. But he trusted God, and he only took 300 men. Wow. 32,000 he started with, and 300 is what he went to fight with. And he was nervous, but he knew it wasn't him. It was going to be God. And it says in verse 20, the three companies of those 300 men were separated into 100 companies each. And when they surrounded the enemy camp that was all down there in the valley, they blew the trumpets and smashed the jars. Whew, released the fire. Gideon and only 300 men showed the power of God and defeated the Midianite army using no weapons. Only fire of the Holy Spirit, the broken jars, which was the men, and the shofars, which was the sound of heaven, which was the glory of God. They won. They, all the enemy ran. I just chuckle when I said that. I'm like, that's right. The demons run. The enemy runs from the Christian who understands that they have such a powerful thing inside of them. That power lives inside of you. Rise up. Rise up and let that power out. If we don't open our mouths and use our shofars, they never see the glory of God. Oh, I'm getting excited. I start running around in circles. It's okay, because Jesus lives in me, and the Holy Spirit wants to come out. He wants to come out and change this world. America, rise up. We have Christians. Christians who will fight. If they just get somebody to encourage them, they know the power's there. They just haven't let it out. Let it out. Let it out. Let him out. He wants to use you. He wants to use you. Praise the Lord. His glory shines through our broken vessels if we allow him to use us. All will know the work is being done by the power of God and not ourselves. I couldn't possibly make that man start using a paralyzed body. Couldn't do it. Only God. Only God. So the more we allow our jars to be broken before him, the more his power is released. The more we allow ourselves to be broken and humble ourselves to speak, the more he's going to use us. So it's okay if you're down here on the floor and breaking your flesh away. It's okay if you do that. It's okay if you submit to him in a way that most people think, well, what are you doing down here on the floor? I am submitting to God. I am holding down my pride and getting on the floor to bow to you, Jesus. It's okay. It's okay to do that in public too. If they can do what they're doing out there, we certainly can bow down to Jesus for a minute before we speak. Amen. Maybe they'll get their attention and they'll say, "Why is that girl on her knees?" Well, let me show you the fire of God. I'll show you why. Because he comes out when we break ourselves. His power is released. So the beauty of this chapter that we're reading, that part right there was all encouraging on telling us it's not us. It's not us. And when you get that, you don't have to lose heart. And he told us that at the beginning, right? So the rest of this chapter now shows how God breaks his clay pots so that his power can shine through. Now, we don't like to think about God breaking us, but he does. He helps us break ourselves when we humble ourselves to him. So in verses 8 and 9, it says this. We are hard-pressed. I'm not reading it per exactly because I just wanted to sum this up. But he says we're hard-pressed, we're perplexed, we're persecuted, and we're struck down. Life is hard. These days, it's hard. There's a lot coming at us. Sickness, finances, family, TV. There's so much coming at us. It makes us feel like we can't keep going. We're just so persecuted. We're struck down. Life stinks. But what does it say behind each one of those words when you read it? It says, it also says, we are not crushed. We are not in despair. We are not abandoned. We are not destroyed. Those four words, not in despair, not abandoned, not destroyed, not. Why? Because we have an amazing, powerful God who lives inside of us, who keeps us encouraged when we go to him. People look and they say, how is it that you're not laid out in your struggle that you're going through? How is it that you continue to preach Jesus when you just lost your mom? How is it when you're in the hospital bed, you can say the name of Jesus, I am healed? How are we doing that? How are you still functioning, standing, trusting in God? How? Because his power lives within me. He lives within me. And when I keep my mind on the spiritual reality, I can do all things. This shows that the power and the victory of Jesus. Only Jesus can meet our needs. So activate your faith and let the power of God take over so others can see the glory of God. In your struggle, when you're looking like life should have you down and out, you're celebrating Jesus and they don't understand. Right? So verses 10 and 11. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. I sat with that for a month. And when the pastor said, you know, we need somebody to preach, I'm like, please, please let me do it because this has been coming alive in me. The death of Jesus is a real event. It's a historical event. But when we allow the death of Jesus to remind us that we have resurrection power, we can allow it to be revealed to others for Jesus' sake. We become alive and the person we're talking to becomes alive, right? It's a spiritual reality. We live in victory, but life is not always easy. We must die to ourselves in our flesh to be like Jesus. The shofar had to have the flesh taken off of it before the presence of God came out in sound, right? You have a shofar inside of you, by the way. This is why I yell hallelujah a lot, because it's my shofar. And I love it. I loved when I learned that if I just let that sound out, it really moves me. It moves me. I don't know about everybody else, but it allows me to put down the things of this world and say, that power lives within me. It's such an experience. Next time we worship, just let it out. We must die to ourselves in our flesh to be like Jesus, putting down the things that we want to do and say to others reveals Jesus in us. So you know you got that coworker you want to tell off. They know you want to tell them off, too. They know it. They know it. But when you express Jesus' love instead, they see something different, don't they? It changes everything in the room because God's presence is now in the room. When you open your mouth and allow him to come out, his presence is now with them and you in the same room. It's a wonderful thing. It's a miracle thing. What other God can do that? Can't. Can't because they're not alive, But Jesus is alive in us. And when we open our mouths and allow him to use us, we bring his presence into the situation and it changes everything. Sometimes it takes a long time and you feel like it's hard. But what does this chapter say? Do not lose heart. I will work through you. This is my ministry. Just let me use you. Just let me use you. Zip your lip and allow me to love them through you. God's servants may also experience death-like suffering. When we're going through a situation, we feel like we're dying. It's bad. I was in the hospital in 1993, and I literally was dying. Had gallbladder surgery, which backed up into pancreatitis, and I was sick, very sick. But when I was experiencing that death-like suffering, God is a good and glorious purpose coming in through it, and he allowed that to happen to me. He allowed that. I wasn't dying in his world, just my own, right? He knew that he was changing my life while I was in that death-like suffering. I didn't understand any of what I'm teaching now back then, but it happened 30 years ago is when he started saying to me stuff like that. Remember that Paul started out like this chapter with the do not lose heart. He is encouraging us that in our suffering, God's glory can be seen because God is very present with us when we're suffering, when we're going through something. That's when your Bible's right beside your bed, isn't it, when you're sick? Your Bible's open right in front of you when you're going through something. You open your phone and say, I need a scripture. He's with us. We are not crushed in despair, abandoned, or destroyed in any way, shape, or form. Just in our own worldly thoughts. That's where Satan gets us. When we're in that stressful situation, whatever it be, your coworker, your health, your finances, when we're in that, Satan's saying you got a little unbelief on God going on because you're not trusting him, that's what he starts telling you. Yeah, I got you. I got you. And you have to say, no. No, you don't. No, you don't. Reality is what the word tells me because that's where I live. I live in high places seated with God. And I say his word is over what I'm feeling in my body. John 3:30 says, he must become greater. I must become less. Sit with that one for a while. How does Jesus become greater? You have to put yourself down. You have to put yourself lower than him. You have to say, no, I'm not going to allow that to happen. Sorry. He must become greater. I must become less. So when you're in that situation with a family member and they're really pushing all your buttons, he must become greater. I must become less. I must be a servant. I must be like Jesus. I must serve my family. I must serve my coworkers. I must serve in any way possible. The life of Jesus will be revealed through us when we put down our flesh and die to it. No more fighting and complaining in our struggles. Only God's presence. We want people to see the Jesus in us, so more of him, less of me. Right? When we're complaining and grumbling and going on and on and on, that, are they seeing Jesus? No, because he did not complain. He kept his mouth quiet, even on the cross. So that means that we don't give in to the frustration and the stress. We do not kick and scream and fight mentally the whole way through. Oh, I think my illness took many more years because I fought and screamed the whole way through. God, why am I going through this again? Why is there always something wrong with me? I kicked and screamed and hollered. And I think at one point I was even like, yes, I am kicking and screaming. But we need to not do that. We have to give ourselves over to the Lord and his plan. His peace, his Holy Spirit will bring direction, wisdom, comfort, guidance, all of that into the situation if we allow ourselves to be broken in it. So when you hear yourself talking and complaining and griping and wait a minute, there's another way. When we have Jesus, we have self-control. It's a fruit of the Spirit. That self-control doesn't mean stop picking up your fork when you're overeating. That gives us permission to choose a different way. Self-control means we have a different way. An unbeliever can only choose that way, one way, and that's to destruction. But a believer has two ways. You can either choose to gripe and complain and go down the road of destruction, or you can choose to go with Jesus and put in the word of God and get yourself out of that funk in your mind, because it all starts in your mind. That's where the battle's at, right here, in your own mind. So when you say no to the battle of the enemy, because that's the one way, you pick up the word of God and it changes everything. That's how Jesus is alive. That's how resurrection power comes in you. That's how it changes everything. So verse 12 says, so then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. See, when we allow the death of ourselves to come through us, his life comes in and it changes somebody else when they're watching us go through stuff, right? When we allow that to happen, they witness, that is not the Tanya that I know. No, it's not. It's Jesus, the one that's inside of me. And I want people to look at me and say, that's Jesus. I see Jesus in her. That reminds me of Jesus. That's what I want. I want to be better at it. So as a servant, you're putting down what you think and want to do for someone else so that God can use you to minister to that person. Whoever you're being an example to, sometimes it's just you and God, but you're an example to him that I'm living like you. Thank you, Jesus. And sometimes you're ministering to someone else just by your very presence being different than it used to be. His life then, God's life, will then be at work in them. Because when you bring love into a heated situation with a coworker and you don't interact in the fight, it puts the fight out. Immediate, the fire goes out. The fire, God puts out their fire. And the love changes everything. They may not say, I love you at the end of the day, but the fight's over. You didn't entertain the devil in that, right? So Jesus can and will touch their lives with his Holy Spirit if you allow him to use you. So as we suffer in a situation and God's purpose is revealed, that brings glory to him. And then we use that experience to minister out of, and Jesus is glorified times two in us and then in touching someone else's life as well through our testimony, right? That's why it says by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Because when you share how your life has been changed by Jesus, or just even if it's not by words, but by action, how it's been changed by Jesus, it changes them, it changes you, and we all get blessed. Hallelujah. That's a double portion right there. So verses 13 to 15 says, it is written. Didn't Jesus say something about that in the desert? It is written. When we claim that it is written, Satan has to go. He says, it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. That sentence right there impacted me a lot. What I believe and what I speak changes my situation, right? That's called confession. You're confessing the word of God. What I believe and what I speak. Now, everyone can do that, even the demon worshipers. Whatever they believe, they're speaking, and we're seeing it, right? But why can't we speak what we believe? I believe, therefore I have spoken, the next sentence, with that same spirit of faith. Now, come on. That's Jesus. The spirit of faith is the Holy Spirit who lives inside of me. So when I believe what the Holy Spirit speaks in my ear and I speak what he says, we change lives. Again, it's his ministry, not ours. So it says then, go back to the scripture, with that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. You see, that's taking that person with you, right? You're giving them a chance to hear Jesus. And with that, he will raise you and them. That's the belief we have. That's the belief we have. So all of this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Just think, if all the Christians in America rose up and spoke the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit would cause people to start being in thanksgiving, and this America would look way different, wouldn't it? Come on now. We got a job to do. Don't lose heart. It feels like I'm pushing this barrel of cement up a hill, but it's not my ministry, it's his. We just have to remember that. When we remember that, it's him, and we just have our part. Just do your part. That's all he's asking. we have that same spirit of faith flowing through us that Jesus did. His Holy Spirit. Jesus carried the same spirit of faith, and look what all he did. And he said, you're going to do even greater miracles than I, right? Well, there's nothing better than raising the dead, so he wasn't talking about that. He's saying that my spirit goes out, and that's going to go out, and more people, the miracles are going to be more, not better than what he did, but more than what he did, because we're doing them. It's our job. He's calling us to do the miracles. Resurrection power will rise up when we are speaking faith over someone, and they will be in God's presence because of it. Speak out the powerful name of Jesus, and he will make himself known. Amen, amen. We will be ministering out of his presence if we allow the spirit of faith to flow out of us. He is faithful to be present when we speak his name. His grace will reach people and will produce thanksgiving. So, you know, you can minister to somebody out of your own words and just say something to them, and it doesn't even touch them. They walk away going, whatever. Yes, that was a... My husband makes fun of me about that. But anyways, we can do that, or we can minister out of his presence. Okay, definitely. Recognize that we have resurrection power inside of us. And when we walk through what the Holy Spirit leads us to do, when we open our mouth at just that moment, when you're feeling like, I got to say the name of Jesus, I can't even contain myself, say it. Because now you're ministering out of his presence. That means he's there, right there. They may not like it, but that's not you. Remember, we're persecuted, but we're not abandoned, right? They're going to persecute you if they don't want to hear it, but they're not persecuting you. They're persecuting Jesus, and he doesn't abandon us because we cannot break through on our own. We need him to partner with us. His Holy Spirit will prompt us to speak with faith what we believe, and his presence will reveal himself to them. He does the work. He gets the breakthrough, his grace, his mercy, his presence. See how easy that is? If you know his word, that's why you got to read the word. When you know his word, whatever level you're at, I don't care if you know one verse, you can use it. You know it. But his presence is in that word that comes from his Bible, the Bible. He does the work. He gets the breakthrough. It's his ministry. I just love this. I just have been sitting with this for a whole month or two, and I just love it because it takes that pressure off. I don't have to feel discouraged. I don't have to feel like I got a whole bunch of pushing to do. No, you just follow what he tells you and be faithful to him. Be motivated by the glory of God and hearing people give thanks to him. When you are faithful to speak the truth of God's word in which you believe, God works through that faith. And when we share out our beliefs in him, he comes because he is faithful. Faith, faith, faith. Faith is what you believe in. So if you believe in God, you want to speak your faith, right? And they can speak what they believe, but it's not going to change anything other than taking you to destruction. It's only the word of God that can bring someone else up. So verse 16 says, therefore, we do not lose heart. You see, he says it again at the end of the verse. He said it at the beginning, and he's saying it at the end. Therefore, look back at what all I just said. Don't lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Paul was encouraging us from the very beginning of this chapter that this ministry of freedom is not ours. We are only a small part of it. We go through trials and sufferings, but it makes for an effective ministry for the kingdom of God. We do not see the big picture, and we do not understand how God works. We simply trust in him. Because we are broken clay jars, we need to embrace this process and turn to Jesus. Verse 17 says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Paul's sufferings were so many that ours can't even compare. We must remember that it is only for a moment in comparison to all of our eternal life. It's only for a moment. Life is hard, but we have an eternal life that's coming that will not be anything like this. We will be renewed, and we will see the glory of God for all eternity. This process happens over and over and over as we humble ourselves to the sanctification of it. In other words, being made pure and holy and more like Jesus. So clinging to him and trusting in Jesus will take us through. Romans 8:17 says, suffer with him, be glorified together. And that's a hard one to think about. Jesus suffered. He suffered a lot. He suffered a lot of persecution. But he's glorified now, and we will be glorified with him as well. So glory is tied to suffering. Affliction is not something to be endured in order to reach glory. It is the very process which creates the glory. We see Jesus in the suffering. His glory came out of the suffering. And we will share in that same glory out of our suffering when we cling to him. Paul isn't saying that all afflictions produce glory. It is possible to allow suffering to destroy us and to let affliction make us bitter, miserable, and self-focused. However, if we look to the things which are not seen, then our affliction will work in us as an eternal weight of glory. This is why we have a choice with our self-control to choose Jesus and look at his word over whatever is happening in our lives. We live in a physical world and things happen right in front of our eyes all the time, but we don't have to live in that. We live here in spiritual things, and that becomes our reality, our faith, and we speak our faith, it changes everything. And you're with me on that? You've seen it happen, right? That's the miracle-working power of Jesus Christ. So let's see. However, if we look to the, suffering should not drive us away from God, but help us to identify with him further and allow his love to reach into us and heal us. Verse 18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and the spiritual realm. What we go through on this earth is very temporary compared to the rest of our eternal lives with the Father in heaven. Don't allow this world to discourage you. Take heart. Take heart. So three things for you to take away from this sermon. Number one, this is his ministry, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Number two, be a broken vessel so God can use you. And number three, let his light shine through you because his presence brings glory. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.